Hey everybody, Craig here. Welcome to the season premiere of season 6 of the Thematic Podcast. I'm filming this after the fact. I'm actually editing this episode right now, and I wanted to let you know two things before we jump into this. Number one, whether you're watching this or listening to this, you're going to hear an echo. And for that, we apologize. We're deeply sorry. This entire studio is brand new. We're working out all of the kinks with our tech, and we're doing all live switching, multi-camera, multi-mic, multi-source switching at the same time. And there is a setting that was off, and so you're going to hear it in the background. It's pretty faint, but we just ask that you give us some grace on this episode and next episode, because those were filmed the same day, and we think we have the problem fixed moving forward. In light of that, we also want to invite you to come and join us. This season is the first time ever we're actually filming live episodes, and we're doing that just about every other Wednesday night. So check out all my social channels to figure out when those live filmings are. It's a really fun time. And lastly, I want to let you know that after this episode, that some more things came out. Another video was posted by Russell. And so I just want to emphasize that what you're hearing here is not specifically, I don't think that we attacked him in any way, but I want to let you know that even after the filming of this episode, there's more details that came out, specifically an episode or a short video on Instagram that he posted that where he said, hey, somebody let me know that tarot cards are not okay. And so I just want to honor him right now for his response, even already as he's beginning his faith journey. And so you'll know what I mean more after you hear this episode. We're talking about the idea of syncretism in general, and we use it through the lens of Russell Brand specifically, but it's subjects that apply to every single one of us. So anyway, we feel like we handled this episode of this content with grace and love and truth anyway, but I just wanted to say that knowing that I'm editing this just about a week later. And so more things are coming out, and we believe he's going to continue to grow and that every one of us should continue to grow. That being said, let's jump right into the episode. The bumper. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Thematic Podcast, Season 6 premiere.
Here we are. We made it.
We made it. My name is Craig.
And I'm Daniel.
And this is the brand new studio. Yeah. It's taken us a lot of time to work on.
This is taking Craig a lot of time. I helped 0%.
Yes, he did absolutely nothing.
He literally did nothing. This looks amazing, dude.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, today we are starting season 6, and I thought that we could start with a subject that if people are listening later on, it wouldn't be necessarily as relevant calendar-wise or like time-wise, but the subject matter is always relevant.
Right.
So, and then secondly, I just want to premise this one because I don't know that we've ever done something like today. And then this episode's subject before in terms of talking about one specific person.
Yeah, we've never done that.
We haven't?
No, okay. I don't believe so.
Other than probably me or you, but we've never really addressed like a person in society or anything like that. But that's what I want to do today. So if it's okay with you, Daniel.
Yeah.
What's been happening is I've been following Russell Brand's journey through his social media. I don't know him personally. Have you been seeing any of...
Yeah, I think a lot of us have been following him.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
My wife sent me the first video where they're like, hey, Russell's like saved.
Yeah, he's like talking about Jesus. And so do you know anything about Russell Brand? Just like who is he? Tell just for anybody that maybe doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, so he kind of came into the public sphere as an actor primarily, a character actor. He really struggled with drugs and pornography, like at a very deep addictive level. And he, by his own admission, and he was kind of public about the struggle. And he has recently come to Christ and transitioned and is transforming kind of in front of our eyes, and he's letting people see into that journey.
Right.
But big, huge struggles in probably the last 10 years.
Okay. And he was like a comedian too, right?
Excuse me.
I think pretty crude.
Very crass, yeah.
And was he not married to Katy Perry at one point?
Yes, he was.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
So Katy Perry, comedian, actor, Hollywood, you know. So, okay, so pretty big star, but really not, a pretty, like, out there guy.
Not A-list, B-list for sure, but connected to a lot of A-list celebrities like Katy Perry and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, so recently he has been on this faith journey, and it seems, and I don't know, I haven't listened to everything, but it seems like a faith journey in the sense of exploring spirituality in general. Mm-hmm. But most recently, he's been clearly describing himself as a follower of Jesus. Talking about how, I mean, reading the Bible, wearing a cross, and then what we're talking about today. The big thing that just happened, and if you're listening later on, it would have happened a little while ago. Well, really happened, I guess, the last day in April. But so he just got baptized, or whatever day in April, whatever it was. This last Sunday.
Last week of April.
Last Sunday, he gets baptized, and he posts a whole video about how amazing it was and how transcendent it was and how, like,
it really
affected him.
Yeah.
And so this is really cool, and I want to talk about that. But Daniel, one of the reasons why I also want to talk about this subject is because what I saw is that 7 hours after his baptism video, he also posts a video where he literally does a tarot card reading. And it's not the first video that I've seen of him doing tarot card readings right after a video of him preaching about Jesus.
Yeah.
So nobody submitted this question. I just thought, man, a lot of people are seeing what's going on right now. There's a lot of angles from which you could have this. Somebody might think about it, but so this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about
when they see someone really outspoken that would seem from their videos. I mean, he seems super sincere. I've actually enjoyed watching the videos and kind of reminiscing, like, oh man, I remember when I first got saved and how you kind of go through those emotions. They see him talking, a big talk in that sense, and then he's doing this activity, and they correlate the two and go, oh, they must be okay together.
Right.
And I think as we'll unpack through this, we haven't talked about it. I didn't even know what the question was until 5 minutes when I showed up here. But I would imagine both of us are on the, hey, if we're pro-Jesus, let's stay away from tarot cards.
Yeah, I would think so, hopefully. So let's have this discussion. I don't know what
without
the foundation.
Without judgment on him as he grows,
Right. So where should we start then? What do you do? What do you do with somebody when it seems like they're making a commitment to Jesus, but they still have some things that are clearly not biblical? Okay, why don't we start with the Bible? This is the thematic podcast. Okay, so he seems to be pretty genuine.
Yeah, and the Bible says repent and be baptized. He has done both those things. We're on a great start.
Yeah, and he seems like he's embracing Christ in a real way. And only God knows a man's heart, but it seems like it.
Yeah.
So, but you said repent and be baptized. Mm-hmm. So, is the practice, the current practice of sin, how does that come into play with repentance?
Yeah, so the question to unpack it even more is, once you become saved, if you're engaging in sin, is that a part, like, can you count that as repentance? So this question obviously goes through a lot. I mean, I'll start with myself because it's the easiest. In Catholicism, gluttony is a sin, like directly. I think in our, denomination of Christianity, it would be sort of like the lack of self-control, and self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So it'd be like, okay, there's clear hindrance in your life, and there's probably something out of alignment. And for my own sake, only knowing my own heart and mind, there is. I tend to engage in high-stress activities. I want to succeed, and then I'll use food for comfort instead of the Holy Spirit. It's a battle. Okay. We're winning in the battle. There's moments we win more than others.
Uh-huh.
But am I unrepentant in that sin? My answer would be no. I'm 100% vocally not saying it's okay.
Right.
I'm not endorsing it.
Right.
I'm admitting that I have fallen short in that area. But the Bible says, confess your sins one to another and you will be healed. Some versions say restored. Mm-hmm. I believe in that. I think the only time that we can keep those deep hindrances in the form of sin is if we choose to go back them, like a dog returns to his vomit, also in Scripture, or if we don't confess that they are sins. Because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace super abounds, or hupa abounds in the Greek. which means like if we're like, hey, no, I am sitting in this area, there is grace that will come in and swallow course, that up for yes. you. So I'm landing in that camp for my own sins. So let's talk about Russell.
Yeah. So what do we do?
I've been a Christian for 25 years or 29 yeah. years or whatever it is. Russell's a baby Christian, and yeah. the Bible talks about that when we start this journey, we start, you know, like a baby, basically. We have to be born again. That's even the language we use. So I think that in Russell's case, as he becomes more and more cognizant of what is the perfect and right will of God and where in his life it is out of alignment, the fastest course of action for being healed, corrected, restored is to go, I'm out of alignment. I'm not sure how I can, you know, willpower my way back into it, but I'm going to confess it, own it, and move forward, and then use the community to correct that. So
yeah,
that's a long answer, but
yeah, no, and I like that because of the idea of like a baby being, you know, born and doing good things, but also messing up and yeah. eating the wrong thing and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah. like, so that. What's the point for yeah. somebody like that? And for the record, I did reach out to him. I'm sure he has no clue who I am, but I at least wanted to give the opportunity, you know, like, hey,
we're going to talk about you.
Yeah.
Do you want to
yeah.
be there?
Let me just yeah. Check.
Yeah. Are you still there?
Just somebody saying that the audio is a little low, so I'm going to turn it up.
Okay. Yeah.
Check.
Donna says baby steps. Love that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Check. So you're talking about like you're giving the example of yeah, so, of gluttony.
Yeah.
And that,
so you're talking about like you're giving the example of,
you know, or any sin for that matter, recognizing that it's a sin and not calling it not a sin.
I think that's an important part of the Christian journey.
Yeah. And so there's the tension between saying, well, okay, do you understand this is a sin? Let's not call it not a sin or say that it's okay. And the other side is like allowing people the room to grow and not be perfect right away.
Right.
So when you think about somebody like him, that has such a big global stage through social media and so many people are watching him right now, both Christians that are, many of them have been extremely judgmental, and then other people that have been like really encouraging of him.
Welcome to the church, Russell.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, just the world in general. But...
Is your question like, is it a different metric or sliding scale for him since he has such a big platform? Is that what you're asking?
No, okay. I think my question is.
Is that what you're asking?
No, okay. I think if somebody actually got to speak with him and said, "Hey, brother," tarot cards and said, "Hey, brother, are not godly."
Tarot cards,
and this is why.
Yeah,
and then he continues to say that they're not sin, and that they're good, that they're a good thing.
Yeah.
At what point do we say,
and that they're good?
No, bro. Like no, brother. You know what I mean? So how do we deal with like somebody that's in the journey?
Like no, brother. You know what I mean? So
even after you've pointed something out to them.
Yeah. I don't know if you'll like my answer, or if everybody will like my answer, but. I think you take the Paul in Athens approach with stuff like that. In the scripture that I'm referring to, I think it's in Acts, right? Where he's
17.
Talking
about the idols.
Temple? Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to explain the story? You'll explain it much more proficiently than I will.
In Acts 17, Paul shows up to
the Areopagus,
and which is where everybody would just,
the Areopagus.
Sorry, there are people saying that we have an echo. I don't know. I didn't hear an echo, so. Sorry, Mom. That's my mom.
Hey.
Sorry if there's an echo.
We're not trying to make it.
Okay, Acts 17, Paul shows up to the Areopagus where they all discuss all these things. And then what's interesting is his job is to like preach the gospel. And he goes around and he sees all these temples to these false gods or demonic gods or whatever. And instead of preaching by saying, hey,
these are all wrong,
you guys have all these idols and I need to bring correction and rebuke to you. He says, he actually compliments them. He says, wow, you guys, I see that in every way. You're really,
really
religious.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I even saw one temple to an unknown God, and what you know is unknown, let me explain to you. And then he uses literally a demonic or false God temple, and he takes it to preach Jesus.
Yeah. So how I, if I were Russell's friend, I would position it like, hey, you're obviously very spiritual and religious. You're seeking something through these cards. Let me tell you how to get it the new way. So you'll never thirst again. You don't need, why go through any vehicle when you have like the source?
Right.
Because I think that when people go to tarot cards, they're looking for answers.
Right.
They're looking for confidence in their future. But your hope now is in Jesus.
Right.
He's all the confidence that you need.
Right.
Like he told Abraham, I am your shield and I am your very great reward. And so maybe teaching him that way without, I mean, that's the balance that people like you and I, or all of us as Christians hold. It's like, how can we love and respect people without accepting all the false beliefs that come with them?
Right.
In a, you know, like Christ would.
Right, right. And giving people the space to grow.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that one thing that we, so just scripturally speaking, do you have any scriptures off the top of your head that if somebody was like, well, no, it's not wrong?
Well, I don't think they would have a scripture for it. I think that we would have more than they would have.
Okay.
I think it was
I think we've actually,
we've done this.
We've done an episode on this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we read some of the scriptures.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So the, you know, we would go to the Bible and we would say, here's the, you know, flee but pursue. Here's the flee. Don't do this. Here's three examples of people doing this and it going badly, like so Ouija boards, tarot cards. There are real spirits or real entities that you're allowing access to you. Here's the examples in scripture. That's the flee. So run away from that. But pursue what? So what's, what are you after? You're after confidence, security. You want it. Actually, the Holy Spirit can give you a word for the future. In fact, our God, the mark of God is that he tells the end from the beginning, and only he can. So by the way, if you want an accurate prediction for the future, you should go to the throne of heaven. And so we would say the voice of God's actually what you're after.
Exactly.
You want to rhema word for your life.
Exactly.
And then teaching them how to hear that is how we would do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
We didn't even talk about this.
No, we didn't. And what's also ironic is that the very day that he got baptized is a, this last Sunday, I was preaching a message at a church in Nampa, Idaho, and I was coming in to preach as a guest speaker, and the guy says, the pastor says, hey, you could preach about whatever subject you want, or we're actually doing a series through the book of Acts, and we just started. It's going to be 80 weeks long, and I was like, wow.
80 weeks?
Yeah, crazy.
It's a year and a half.
I know. And he said, so preach about whatever you want, or you could preach about Acts chapter 1, verse 15 through 26. And I was like, okay, well, I'll pray about this. And that passage is the passage where it says it's between the ascension of Jesus and Acts 2, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's in the 50 days, which is the Pentecost, means 50. So it's in the 50 days, sometime between when Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem. And and at this particular few verses that was assigned to me, it was them choosing a new apostle to carry on the ministry.
Oh, when they, oh, you'll tell this.
Yeah, and so what they did is they cast lots to choose Matthias.
Which is like rolling dice, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so guess what the name of my title was?
What was it?
No Dice.
No Dice. That's awesome.
No Dice.
No Dice, baby.
Which is a term that means like, oh, I didn't get it, or I didn't get what I was looking for or whatever, but I called it No Dice because I taught on the fact that it's the last time we ever see anybody roll dice or cast lots in the Bible.
Ooh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Daniel, after
50 days before the Holy Spirit comes?
No, right before the Holy Spirit comes.
Wow.
So the very next,
that's good.
You know, a few verses later, the very next chapter, this is the last couple verses in chapter 1. And the very next chapter, at the beginning of Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes. And so after this moment, we never see any believer go to casting lots, rolling dice, games of chance, Urim and Thummim, anything like that ever again. Why? Because if we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us,
we don't need a game.
We don't need to go to a card or a psychic or look at the stars or rub our little crystals. We don't do those things because those are false ways to get wisdom and false ways to get at the voice of God. At best, wrong, and at worst, demonic.
Oof.
And so we don't do those things, number one, because they're wrong, and number two, because why would we settle for a twisted version of something when we can go straight to the source?
Yeah, because that's, so I did not, I didn't know that, that it was the last time. So that's a really, really powerful truth that you'd only get from like really reading all your scripture. I've had young people when I was a youth pastor come in the past and they'll bring up the fleece, you know, like leaving the fleece out if there's dew on it in the morning. It's in the Old Testament, you know, because when young people are young, they're always looking for their spouse. And so they're always like, if this happens, I'll know, and, you know, and so, so many times I was trying to coach them through like, maybe there's another, like you're looking for a sign, but what you're really after is trying to hear God's voice. Right. And, I wish I had that truth in my arsenal. That's a really good truth.
Right.
Yeah. That's powerful.
So what do you think the response of the church or just like regular Christians should be to somebody like Russell right now? Or somebody that maybe you know somebody that is, man, they're professing Jesus. As far as you could tell, it seems genuine. That's the thing that I've appreciated. I think you said this, is that it really seems like he's being genuine.
Oh, man.
It seems like he's really had an encounter with God. I haven't heard him use the name Jesus too often, which I would want to see more. But it does seem like he's really beginning to encounter God.
Can you imagine being a baby Christian and being like the whole world, like
looking at you,
watching you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty challenging.
Yeah. Like, how many mistakes did each one of us?
How many times did he mention Jesus? You know, like, I'm not trying to.
No, for real.
I'm just saying, you know, he's.
Well, here, let me just finish what I was going to say and then continue, because you're challenging me. It's good.
I just struggle, you know.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying is I think that what I've noticed from him, or what it seems like from him, is that he's genuine and he's not like trying to. I don't know. Like, I just think that he just doesn't know yet.
He seems authentic, and like he just doesn't know all the answers. And let's face it, I mean, there's not a Christian that's watching this podcast that was given the answer the first time, you know, on something they struggled with or have lived their whole life with, and just fixed it the next day, unless they were delivered, which is why we have a term for deliverance. It's literally why we have it, you know, because it is a process. And if you've been to any kind of Christian counseling before, they talk about, like, as you talk about old things and wounds and, you know, strongholds in your life, maybe from your family or from your past, a good analogy that I have heard is it's like, you know, in a riverbed with all the mud and silt, and as you're digging out these rocks, you get the rocks out, but there's still silt, and the water's murky, and the water of God's word has to just flow and clear it out over time. So you might remove a big rock, but there's still sediment that gets flushed out over time. I think that's a good picture. I would say, you know, there's this like idea in Christianity that how fat, like once you get saved and redeemed, then what is the time allotted to someone for sanctification? What's the time?
I mean, I can't think of a verse where.
There's only one verse. Actually, they're disconnected. It's in James and in Romans. So Romans 4:20 and James 2:22, I believe. Those two verses are talking about the same person almost 40 years apart. You know the verses?
James 4 or Romans 4:20?
Romans
probably talking about Abraham?
Yep.
James Romans talking about Abraham?
Yep.
Okay, what does he say?
Well, it's talking about when he was like when Abraham was reconciled to God. In Romans 4, Paul, who is writing it, says, when God took him out and told him to name a number of the stars, the moment he believed, he was reconciled to God.
Right.
Well, then you go to James, and James uses almost nearly identical language and says it's the moment when he put Isaac on the altar. That's the moment. One can only be reconciled by God. Like, only God knows when he believed. We know because Scripture tells us, but really God was the witness to that, if you think about it. And this is the verse of really God man looks on the outside, yeah. but God looks on the heart. It's a two-way promise. It's one of the reasons why, another reason why I want to lose weight and look sharp, because I know people judge me. They don't see my heart. They don't know what's in here. They don't know I don't have a secret sin or like a porn addiction. I wear my sin on me. And they do look at the outside. That's a double-way promise. And in James, he said the whole context of James is like, what good is your faith if it doesn't like come out in action where it can be measured and seen? And so I believe that the first one is redemption, and the second one is sanctification. He's like fully a huios, a full-grown son. He's his actions. He believes God so much. He knows God so much, he'll put his son on the altar. And so that's like 40 years for Abraham, the father of our faith. Like, so how long do we give people before they get redeemed? Russell Brand, day two, before he's willing to put all the sacred things on the altar. Abraham got 40 years. How much do we give other people? So that's why I struggle with it, because I know so many Christians that struggle in their sin. And I know God. So many Christians that still in their sin. Like he died for that sin 2,000 years ago, so all their sins were future sins,
right?
And they're all forgiven,
right?
As long as the repentance was real, future sins, right? So his atonement is so powerful,
yeah. So let's imagine that, and I don't know how much time we got. Where are we at?
Do we care? I don't actually know.
So let's imagine that.
Let's see. We should probably
Wrap up soon.
Yeah, we should probably wrap up this episode. Yeah. So let's do it this way.
We should probably wrap up soon.
Yeah, we should probably wrap up this
episode. Let's say that Russell was watching this live stream right now.
Hey, Russell.
Or say it's Russell watching it and all the people that are watching it. Or, you know, he's in a room and you're preaching to 500 people and he's also in there. How are you both in, like, what are you saying? How are we right now, knowing that he's hearing this, like, and other people that right maybe
now, you're asking one of the hardest questions in our faith right now for any pastor who has a platform. You know, there are certain types of sin that we don't typically touch, but shouldn't we? Regardless of who's in the room, I mean, the truth and love. It's a good way. A pastor friend of mine said it. It should always be the truth. Always in the vehicle of love, like truth and love only travel together.
Right.
If you separate them, if you have love with no truth, it's a poison.
Right.
And if you have truth with no love, it's a hammer. One kills you fast, the other kills you slow.
Oh!
Fire, dude.
Who said that?
Just like a random pastor guy I can't even remember his name. It was at a tent revival. We kind of worked on the one kills you fast, one kills you slow thing together because we were preaching and co-preaching a sermon kind of revival thing.
But oh, man.
I think it's powerful.
Yeah.
Love without truth will kill you slow.
Oh, man. Dude, it's so,
so
yeah. It's so good.
Right?
Especially because we're living in a culture right now that's like, you're unloving.
If you give me the truth.
Yeah. And the pro...
You're unloving.
And they're wrong, because the truth is always loving, but a lot of times we don't, a lot of times the church doesn't offer that which is loving in a loving way.
In a loving way, yeah.
A lot of times the church.
So it is true that giving somebody the truth is always the loving thing to do, but you can do the loving thing in an unloving way.
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay, so he's listening to this. Do the loving thing in an. Do you want me to go? I'll do it. Do you want to do it? Do you want to do it?
Well, yeah, why don't you go? I'm not afraid to go,
yeah,
for the record, but I've talked a lot.
If I knew Russell was going to watch this,
yeah, of course,
I would probably look right in the camera and say, Russell was on behalf of all believers, it's just so awesome to see that you're encountering God, and it seems like it's so genuine in you, and to hear about your baptism, everything's amazing, and we're with you, and we're for you, and you're in the family, and the Bible says anyone who's in Christ is a brand new creation, the old is gone, and the new has come. And we know that being born again means that you're starting on a journey, and it's not the finish line, it's the starting line. And so looking forward to just seeing how you grow in your relationship with God. And also, things like tarot cards and psychics and, you know, everybody has their own flavor of sin and different things that they go to and different ways that we chase pleasure or knowledge or wisdom, security. And sometimes we don't always... pursue those things directly from God, and so I just want to encourage anybody that has seen those practices, whether
on any number of videos online or wherever, and that those are not the ways that we are to pursue God. In fact, the Bible describes him as sinful, and they could be potentially even opening up the door to demonic influence. And so I'd highly encourage you to go to those things and to pursue God through the scripture, pursue God through prayer. Begin to feel for the peace of God and whether or not he's guiding you by his peace or he's restraining peace from your life. And then you can pay attention to the pros and cons and then really walk with people, other spirit-filled people, to discern the will of God through the multitude of counsel, which is really what the church is.
That's it.
And this is why we need the church, not a building, not a certain service that looks one way or the other way, but a group of people, some size or another, that meets together and encourages one another. We have blind spots, every one of us, and they're blind to us because... They're blind to us.
Well said.
And we need people.
Yeah.
So.
I would literally probably just play that recording for Russell. I would say, hey, Russell, you don't need those cards anymore, brother. You have the voice of God inside you, and the same spirit that rose him from the grave lives in you. And you can access all the truth that you will ever need in him. And so... you'll need some training wheels for a while. It'll take a minute. You'll use the community of believers around you to help authenticate the messages you're getting in your heart and your head, but you'll never get them unless you put those cards away, because you're trusting those cards when you only need the voice. So put those away, practice small, practice every day, and you'll get better at hearing God's voice, because that's what you really want.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's not turn to other things.
So good.
We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. It's not turned out. And
so good.
We have the Holy Spirit. They never cast lots ever again.
Yeah, so now I feel like I got to go throw out all my dice.
They listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you're rolling dice to try and discern the will of God.
No, just
so to play. Why don't we say a prayer for Russell?
Yeah.
And I think that'd be a great way. And just anybody else that's maybe facing, struggling to know what to do in their own walk, or facing friends or family that are maybe still wrestling with some things. And we're all on a journey of sanctification. None of us is perfect yet. So you want to say a prayer?
Absolutely.
And then we'll call it a day for this episode.
Yeah. Jesus, we come before you humbly, knowing that all of us have areas that we struggle. All of us have areas that we're blind in. Lord, would you speak to each of us? But right now in this moment, we're all going to agree and hold a new brother up to you and say, Father, will you open his eyes to the truth of your word? Whether he finds this video or a friend, we know that you're speaking to his heart, and then you bring other sources to align with the words you've already spoken over him. I pray that that's why the Bible says, he who has ears, let him hear. So give him ears to hear. Give him a mind to understand. I thank you that we have another brother in the faith that will get to live forever with you. Bless him on his journey, I pray. And for all the voices that surround him, like whether they're critical or encouraging, either way, that he could somehow drown the din of those voices and hear the one voice that matters. Thank you for his soul. Thank you for your word, and that it's still relevant today in the life of someone who had access to so much and had tried drugs and sex and pornography, and yet in the act of simple baptism, he has the deepest sense of transcendence and welcoming and love that he's ever felt by his own admission. Lord, I thank you that truly, once we experience you, we'll never thirst again. We love you, Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, and I just pray for every one of us that's on a journey of sanctification, that we would no longer be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And Holy Spirit, that you would do in us what only you can do, and that as you reveal truth to us, that we would have the courage to respond to you, to walk in repentance, ongoing repentance, and surrender to you. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you fill Russell completely, that you fill each one of us, everybody that's joining us today on this live stream, and everybody that hears this later on, that you would fill them with your spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you guys for being with us on episode one of the Thematic Podcast. If you want to find out more, go to thematicpodcast.com. And if you want to go deeper in relationship and discipleship with us,
the OC,
then find us on the online discipleship community, which you can find in the links in my bios and probably below this video or below this recording. And we'll see you next time. Hey guys, I just want to say thank you for joining in this episode, whether you're watching or listening, wherever it is that you're joining us from. We're so thankful for you. And also to let you know, the only way to get word out about this podcast is by you sharing it. We don't have a marketing budget or a promotional budget or anything like that. It's just word of mouth. So if this content was beneficial to you and you appreciate our ministry, we'd love for you to share this episode on some of your social feeds or send it to somebody. Also, if you'd rate and subscribe, that would really help out the algorithm as well. And lastly, if you want to join the online discipleship community, then you can go to logikos.circle.so and you can figure out how to go deeper in relationship with us and deeper in discipleship and connection. God bless you.